are, guys. Welcome back to our third and should be final installment of the week. We have UFC 252, Miocic versus Cormier 3, the trilogy. We've talked so much about fights over the past couple of weeks, but we really haven't been had time to dig deep into all the great trilogies that we have had in the UFC. You know, there's Hughes versus BJ, there's Hughes versus GSP, there's GSV versus, you know, multiple people. But when you have a great rivalry and a trilogy at the same time,
yeah,
that is one, that's a very special thing that's come about. Chuck and Randy didn't hate each other. There wasn't a huge rivalry there, but there was definitely a trilogy. But there was mutual respect. I don't think Miocic and Cormier like each other at this point anymore. I think they're getting really sick and tired of each other. And I think the third fight might be the best of them all. You know, when we look back on this rivalry, it's going to be in the same breath as Chuck and Tito. You know, stuff like that, where you have two guys who just hate each other. Dominic Cruz versus Uriah Faber. I really feel like DC and Cormier, when we look back on it, is going to be one of the best rivalries slash trilogies that we've had the pleasure of watching. You know, some of these trilogies aren't always for the belt. You know, unfortunately, when Tito and Chuck first fought, there was no title on the line because Randy Couture was the champion at the time. You know, when Uriah Faber and you know, Dominic Cruz fought the very first time within WFC, not the UFC. Stipe Miocic and Daniel Cormier, for the past 2 years, have now showcased some of the best fighting we have seen in the heavyweight division in a very long time, in just two fights. What does this fight mean to the importance of the UFC? What does this fight mean to the importance of both gentlemen's careers? Waleed, I was at the first one. Yeah. You and I have been following this sport ever since. You know, we've been covering it together ever since, pretty much. What do you think is going to happen on Saturday night?
Listen, on Saturday night, either it goes for Stipe or DC. We will maybe see DC ending his career, who is maybe one of the greatest fighter who ever stepped foot in that cage. And he is potentially one of the greatest heavyweight fighters of all time if he didn't move to light heavyweight for his friend Cain Velasquez. And we have, in the other hand, we have Stipe Miocic, who everyone is saying that he is the greatest heavyweight right now and maybe of all time. But the fact is, Stipe, people said, maybe he's not the greatest heavyweight of all time because he fought against Fabricio Werdum, not on his prime, against Alistair Overeem, not on his prime. Well, he's fighting against a guy in the name of DC, who for me is better than any of them, of those fighters. He's better, like, DC is on another fucking level. Only Jon Jones and Stipe can beat him. The way he defeated Frank Mir, he made it look so easy back when Frank Mir, nobody defeated him that way. He was
Josh Barnett as well.
Yeah, listen.
Josh Barnett was really what opened my eyes to Daniel Cormier.
He's flipping Josh Barnett on the air. Who the fuck does that? Did you see the size of Josh Barnett?
The big boy.
Oh, come on. Listen, at the end of the day, I feel like this is maybe the biggest heavyweight fight we ever had, and it's in a trilogy, so it's even better. We have all the drama, we have everything. It's so great. I wish for both fighters that this fight lasts like 5 rounds and it's back and forth, because they deserve a big fight, both of them. But listen, I will just sit down and enjoy. I just rewatched the second fight, and dude, that fight
beautiful was fight.
Fucking beautiful. And you see the level, because you see sometimes great fights between two unranked fighters and it goes pretty, very, pretty well. But you see the level, those body shots from Stipe, DC in the first round, he was so dominating. It was very dominating. Amazing fight.
Yeah, I can't wait. We'll talk about that fight again in a little bit. Let's dig deeper into this card. Let's start off the very first fight of the night. Kai Kamaka versus Tony Kelly in the featherweight division. I'm not too sure about either one of these two gentlemen. I believe both of them are making their UFC debut. Can't wait for this. We talk about this all the time. This is how you want to start off fight cards, with guys that you might not know about now, because trust me, if you watch these fights and you pay attention, these are guys you are going to see in the future. I look back on old fight cards that'll come past my memories on Facebook and stuff, and I just laugh at like some of the guys who were in the first couple fights. I'm just like, dude, like, I had no idea that guy was going to be a star then. Now, those are the type of guys who I'm paying attention to the most, because those are your next stars.
Yeah.
Especially in opportunities like this, big main event, you know, huge trilogy fights. There's a lot of importance put on this card. There's a lot of decision making put on this card. There is plenty of opportunity to pull guys on this card. There's a reason why it's co-headlined by guys like Sean O'Malley. This is a card with people who the UFC sees a future with.
Yeah, I agree with you. And this fighter, Kai Kamaka, another fighter coming out of Hawaii, which is, you know, we've seen some big stars from Hawaii. So who knows? Maybe he's the future other bigger star from Hawaii. Who knows?
And they really do. We have had some great stars out of Hawaii in the featherweight division as well. Obviously, Max Holloway controlled that division for years. Maybe we have the next Max Holloway here in Kai.
Who knows?
Chris Dockhusen is taking on Parker Porter in the heavyweight division. Y'all listen to Wally, man. He knows what he's talking about. He just wants to see heavyweights bang in Big the balls. Very first fight, and that's it. So you couldn't get him the first fight. We'll take the second one. Yeah. You know, Parker Porter, 10-5. Chris is 8-3. Much bigger reach advantage for Chris, 78-inch, compared to Parker's 76-inch. It's an interesting matchup between these two.
Yeah, we don't know so much about those two fighters. I think maybe it's their first fight also in the UFC, both of them. So pretty interesting to see.
Now, listen, these next two young ladies have been in the UFC for a while. I've been watching Ashley Yoder for a long time. Olivier Souza, I've been watching since her Invicta days. She's probably one of my favorite fighters, you know, in the smaller weight classes. Olivier Souza is a beast. If they had a division underneath 115, I think she would be ruling it right now. She's 13-2 as a 5'3", 115-pounder. Look at just a reach advantage difference between Ashley Yoder and Olivier Souza, 69-63. But don't look at that as a disadvantage for Olivier Souza. She is one of the most dominant women in there. She reminds me of a young Tisha Torres. She utilizes her speed and her size to get on the inside and make it harder for you to connect on your punches, because you don't have a whole lot of, you know, length on them. If you cannot extend your arm all the way out to connect on a punch, kind of hard to make damage. When she's that close to you, it's hard to make damage. And a lot of girls catch her with elbows and stuff like that. No. I don't know if that's in Ashley Yoder's arsenal, that boxing IQ. She is a very dominant boxer. Obviously, she's looked good in her fights in the UFC. She's beaten girls like Ashley Cooper. But she's lost to Mackenzie Dern. She's lost to Angela Hill. She's lost to Marcos. But Olivier Souza, on the other hand, has looked phenomenal in her UFC. She's beaten two high-class women. She lost to Brianna Van Buren, who is on another level. When it comes to this matchup, I think it's going to be the grappling of Olivier Souza that makes a difference.
Both of them, they only lost to top fighters, I feel like, in this division. Like, losing to Mackenzie Dern and Angela Hill, I feel like it's not really negative, because come on, this is not an easy matchup. And it was a split decision against Mackenzie Dern, so it was really a close fight. But I feel like this matchup for both of them is better. I feel like they are somehow in the same level, so they both have a chance to shine.
Yeah, I really feel like it's a very even matchup. Ashley Yoder is a very, you know, well-rounded fighter. I think that the problem with she's a kickboxing style. She doesn't really use a whole lot of elbows. I think the elbows are really what's going to help against somebody like her. Obviously, Olivier Souza is a smaller fighter. She's quicker faster, stronger. I just think it's going to be a long night for Ashley Yoder. I think Livia Souza has the grappling background, too. If she wants to take this fight to the ground, it's going to be a really long night for Ashley Yoder.
Yeah, I agree.
In the very next fight, we have Downtown TJ Brown against Danny Chavez. Danny Chavez is, I believe, making his UFC debut, if I'm not mistaken.
I think you're right, yes.
Fighting out of Miami, Florida, MMA Masters. His last fight was with Global Legacy FC. He beat Dylan Carl. He has some nice victories. He hasn't beaten any real big names. He hasn't lost any big names as well, outside of Mr. Jason Suarez. But Jason Suarez beats everybody. So, I mean, that's Jason Suarez for you.
Yeah.
In my opinion, I believe Jason Suarez belongs in the UFC. He went from Titan FC over to PFL. And right now he's just waiting for a fight. I believe he was talking about doing some boxing. So we'll see a boxing match maybe come up for Mr. Jason Suarez here soon. But back to this fight. Downtown TJ Brown, obviously, has his one UFC appearance. He lost to Jordan Griffin in that fight. He was dominating the first round. Ended up getting caught, though, by Jordan Griffin in a guillotine. I don't think Downtown TJ Brown makes that mistake twice, and I think you see him put on a much more cleaner and one-sided victory.
Yeah. I'm not sure about that because I don't have a lot of information about this Danny Chavez, but listen, it's TJ Brown. Looks like he looked in his first UFC fight, especially in the first round. I really feel like he may get the W.
Yeah, I have to agree with you on that one, especially just there's a lot of hype behind him after his Contender Series fight. He looked really good against Jordan Griffin up until he got caught. I think it's going to be a long night for Danny Chavez.
Yeah.
Now, Felicia Herring is stepping back into the octagon. She is also releasing a kid's book this weekend.
Oh, nice.
I don't exactly remember. I believe it's Lemons for Lemonade or something like that. It's on Amazon Bookstore, Barnes & Noble, and another book place. Sorry for messing that up. But it's definitely available. You should definitely go check it out if you guys are fans of Felicia Herring. And we'll just sit around and wait for that OnlyFans or something. Now she's fighting Verna Garbarava. She has some very dominant victories in the UFC. She lost to Carla Esparza, but she beat Marley Martin, and it was dominant. She submitted her in the second round. She took Carla Esparza to a decision loss, obviously. But on the other hand, Felicia Spencer has beaten the likes of Justine Kish, Courtney Casey, Alexa Grasso. She's lost to Michelle Watterson, though, and Caitlin Kukavich.
Carolina Kovacevic.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm way out of the place.
No, it's Carolina. It's Carolina.
I know. One of those girls.
Yeah. Carolina, come on. Carolina's
listen, really ever since she lost to Jan, I don't know who the hell she is, okay?
It was a great performance, if you remember, Carolina. It was the fight where she actually took Felicia to the ground and she showed some good grappling that we never saw again.
That's the problem. We've never seen it again.
But let's go back to Felicia Herring. She is in a fight losing streak.
She's on a 2-fight losing streak going up against a young lady who's only lost once in her career to Carla Esparza, who has tremendous grappling. We're talking about a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt. In Verna, do you really think, I mean, she, 4 takedowns within 15 minutes is what she averages. Her takedown accuracy is 46%. Now, Felicia Spencer's takedown defense is 79. Felicia Herring, one of those girls. Felicia Spencer.
Oh, come on.
No, I'm just talking shit. Felicia Herring, obviously one of the better takedown artists, but I don't think she's going to be able to last. Listen. If a girl is landing 4 takedowns within 15 minutes, she's going to get 1 on you. If she gets 1 on you, she's probably going to submit you.
Yeah, both of them have a lot of experience, you know, which is something that you don't see quite in those females' division. Felicia Herring have over 20 fights, you know, which is impressive, you know. And Verna, she has 16 fights, so, you know, there's a lot of experience.
I'm high on Verna. I know I'm talking a lot of shit about Felicia Herring. I'm just talking shit. I love Felicia Herring. I think she is a very dominant fighter. I just don't think she's going to beat Verna this weekend. I think Verna could really be the future of this 115-pound division. I know I say that about a lot of 115-pounders. Yeah. But there's three or four women out there who look dominant and have looked very good doing so.
I'm not sure if it will be easy to take Felicia Herring down. I feel like she had a lot of experience, and it will not be a walk in the park for
her. Listen, she's got very good wrestling. I'm just saying, if she does get taken down,
it will be. Yeah, I agree with you.
The BJJ is on a completely different level.
Yeah.
Jim Miller is taking on From Hell Vince Pichel. Man, these two are just fun fights waiting to happen. These two never have boring performances. They always go at it. Jim Miller obviously has been in the UFC for so long. You don't stay in the UFC that long without having great fights. Vince Pichel, unfortunately, due to injury, we haven't seen a whole lot of him. But from what we do see, it's always beautiful. Roy Roberts was his last victory. He's only lost in his last five fights, Vince Pichel, Gilbert Gillespie. That dude has been beating all kinds of people. On the flip side, the only five... In the last five fights that Jim Miller has lost, he's only lost to Scott Holtzman and Charles Oliveira. You know what Charles Oliveira brings to the table. Amazing grappler. Holtzman, outside of losing to Benil Dariush this weekend, has looked unstoppable.
Yeah. And they both won, I think, their last fight against Roberts. I think same fighter. But dude, Jim Miller, I feel like he's been in the UFC even before that the UFC was made. Like, 36-year-old, still going strong, still winning fights, still looking good.
Bro, he was a baby when he started.
Impressive MMA record. Yeah, he'd been in the UFC even before that the UFC was made. I feel like he was in the UFC in the 1980s or some shit like that.
Right?
He's been always. I really, every time I think about old days in the UFC, I see Jim Miller in my head. I don't know why, but...
We're at UFC 252.
Yeah.
Jim Miller was on UFC 100.
And Jim Miller
I believe he was on UFC 100.
I think he was, but he's still going strong, man.
He was on 200 as well, wasn't he?
I think so. I think he fought against Joe Lozon in 200, no?
Yes.
Yeah.
Jim Miller has been around forever.
And maybe he will be for UFC 300. Who knows?
His very first fight was at UFC 89, and he was on UFC 100. He fought Mac Danzig to a unanimous decision victory.
Oh my God.
So we're talking about a guy who's been here forever. He holds a victory over Charles Oliveira.
Yeah. He's impressive.
He's almost made it to the belt multiple times, except for he just gets knocked off right when he gets to the top.
Yeah.
He ran into Benson Henderson the first time, and he ran into Nate Diaz the second time. And ever since then, he's been win-loss, 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 win-loss.
Yeah, but he is the type of fighter that you will always enjoy watching him fight. Like,
super exciting, bro. Super exciting. Can't wait for this fight. Vince Pichel as well. He was on the live season of The Ultimate Fighter. We've interviewed him on the show before. I'm excited to see what he brings to the table. He has been out for a while. He hurt his back, I believe it was, and then his shoulder. One right after the other. And he was supposed to come back. Then he re-injured himself. And so here's his first fight back since he fought Roberts. And that was almost a year and a half ago. And that's when we interviewed him. Can't wait to see him again, and can't wait to see him perform this Saturday.
Yeah, me too. Now let's go to the main card, brother.
Now, I'm excited about this matchup right here. Okay, yeah. I'm really excited about Merab Dvalishvili. He is, like his nickname says, the machine. The dude pushes an astonishing pace. I don't know anybody who's got these type of... 8.67 takedowns is what he averages was inside 15 minutes. That's fucking insane. Eight takedowns within 15 minutes. Only losing to Simone, beating guys like Casey Kinney. I mean, come on, man. Merab is getting a huge step up here with John Dodson when it comes to notoriety, because John Dodson's a name.
Listen, Joe Dawson is also still going strong and still winning fights. You know, the flashy. Since he lost that haircut, that Doink the Clown haircut, I feel like he regained some confidence.
What the fuck was going on with his hair, bro? What was that shit?
I'm not sure what he was trying to do, but it didn't work out well.
He looked great against Nathaniel Wood, and I was high on Nathaniel Wood going into that fight.
Yeah, exactly. That was the hair. That was the hair, brother. Ever since he cut his hair, yeah.
Listen,